we are not alone. Finding Intersex with Jackie Green.
Hi guys, it's Jackie Green. It's been a few weeks. I'm sorry, I'm like a bad podcaster. Bad podcaster! So basically life came up. I had people lined up. I had to keep pushing them back. But then my golden interview came up. We're going to call her my golden guest. My golden guest. It's my friend, Emily Quinn. Now, Emily is amazing. I have this big grin on my face talking about Emily because she's kind of one of the people that made me comfortable talking about being intersex. She really did. She is super cool. She's artsy. She's fun. And she's vocal. And she's an advocate. And she kind of helps. She helps youth all over dealing with intersex issues and education and all that good stuff. That said, Emily was in a Pop Sugar video. You've probably seen it. It hit Facebook like a week or two ago. And in 1 week, it's got 4.5 million views. And it's just a minute and a half, maybe a little longer, of her telling her story. Her story that so many of us that are kind of not talking can relate to. Her story of being intersex. She's so cool. And so I have Emily's number. We've chit-chatted for years now, kind of on and off. Just, you know, online friends, whatever. And with that one thing in common. And yeah, so I said, Emily, please come on my podcast. Please talk to me. I think you're cool, whatever. And she said, okay. So I had her on the line. We talked. And you need to hear it. Listen to Emily. Love Emily. Check out her video on Facebook. Here it is.
Cool.
All right. We're recording.
Awesome.
So, first off, what are you doing right now?
Right now, I just finished lunch, and I'm about to start working.
What does a day in the life of Emily Quinn look like? Like, what do you do when you're working?
So right now we're actually gearing up for an intersex youth retreat in a few weeks, interactive. I'm the youth coordinator. And so that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just in the throes of planning that and planning all the logistics. But I mean, every day is different. It just kind of depends. Some days I'm speaking about being intersex at different conferences or to different media reporters or something kind of even like this. Other days we're talking to youth or making plans with them or making content with them, like brochures or blog posts or writing things. So it just kind of varies from day to day depending on what's happening in the world.
Like 10 years ago, did you see yourself in a position like this, doing this?
Not at all. Not even close. I'm trying to think 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I was planning on being an animator.
Ooh.
And I was actually graduating high school. This is my 10-year reunion this summer.
Are you going to go?
I think I'll be out of town. I really wanted to.
I didn't go to mine.
No?
Oh.
I just had lunch with my friend who I've known since third grade. So I have a lot of old friends.
So you stay in touch.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with the internet these days. That's how we know each other.
Well, and I think that's the thing. Like, I got wind that no one was going to go, but everyone sees each other on Facebook and we're like, yeah, I don't really need to go.
In a way, that's kind of where the world is going, I feel like, with how technology is.
Right. But, like, I'm, like, super random, so you're going to catch that I jump around. Like, I never have, like, one thing I'm talking about at once. But
no, you're fine.
So, going back, like I said, 10 years ago, did you see yourself even talking about this subject at all, about being intersex? Because I know I did not.
No. I'm trying to think. That year, I told two of my friends, and one of my friends told me that if it was her, she would kill herself. And, yeah.
No.
And another one, yeah, I'm serious. We were in a craft store, actually. It's
what
like
did
a very
you...
vivid. She started crying, and I was, like, practically comforting her. I wasn't, specifically, but it was, like, I understood where she was coming from, and I saw her point of view, actually, at the time. I was, like, yeah, it sucks. Like, I get it. But now I'm, like, oh, my God, that was horrible.
What was her reasoning to react so volatile?
I think just that, like, to not be able to have kids.
Okay.
That, I think that's what it was.
And that's kind of, I mean, where you're from Utah, mm-hmm. and in your community, that's kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah, and she was very Catholic and devout Catholic and from a strong religious and cultural community. So, I mean, I get it now, especially too after meeting other people who are as devout as she was at the time. I mean, she's not anymore and we're still friends, but it was just, I see where she was coming from and I understand where the line of thinking is. It just like sucks that that's the reality, and hopefully we can change it for the future.
Has she since then like apologized or said, I'm really embarrassed that I said those things?
You know, I don't think she even remembers. I mean, I'm sure she might. I don't know. We've actually never talked about it.
So it's one of those things that's like, obviously for you, that's like heartbreaking thing to be told by someone. But for her, it was a blip.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry that she said that to you. I feel so terrible.
Oh, no. I mean, that's okay. I think it's just, you know, we gear up for those moments. Like, telling somebody, especially when you're not used to telling people, is a huge deal. So for me, I remember it vividly, like, where we were, what we were doing, like,
exactly
why we were talking about it. And so for her, it was just, like, something, like, just a part of her random, like, this random Tuesday or whatever day it was. And for me, it's, like, my life.
You know? Now, a lot of people go through the lying where they're like, they tell half-truths about the situation. And that's kind of what I did for most of my life until the last, you know, year or so. Did you ever go through that, or were you kind of, you either told it like it was or didn't tell it all?
It depended on who I told. I usually told half-truths to a certain degree, like kind of just emphasized I don't get period and I don't get a period and I can't have kids. And like, that was pretty much it.
I got a lot of this. Like, if I said that, they would respond with, oh, you probably have this. My friend has this. And they'd list something never heard of. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. That's what I must have.
That works. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That happened quite a bit, actually, in college.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I think I still find myself telling half-truths sometimes, just kind of depending on the situation and circumstances. Like, now I talk about this every single day.
Right.
And so some days I'm just in an Uber and exhausted and don't want to talk to my Uber driver about what I do. And so I will just say something along the lines of like, oh yeah, this, like I work with youth, like I don't go into it. Or if I talk to someone specifically, I won't go into it sometimes just because you get tired of talking about it every day.
Right.
It's not all of me. It's just a part of me.
It's like a very small part of your life, realistically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's now become a huge part of my life, but like, it's still not all of me. Like, there's still so many other parts of my life and aspects of who I am.
Right. Like, you're like literally my favorite person to stalk on the internet because you're so cool. Like, you lead this like cool life and your photos are cool and you're artsy. And it's like, this is so small, but it's such a big thing because so many people haven't heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where it is too, is like, I've made it a big part of my life because it's important too, and it's important for some people too, so that eventually it is just a small thing for people and just a variation and a difference, and doesn't have to be this big deal, you know?
Right.
I think it takes people talking about it.
So recently you were on a video that Pop Sugar shared and it went crazy. And I've had like 57 million people send it to me and be like, isn't this like what you have? Isn't this like you? You should reach out to this girl. And I'm like, I kind of know her. We're like friends.
I know. We were texting about it at the time. And I think we were texting about it right when like somebody tagged you or something.
Yeah.
Right? Like it was happening all simultaneously.
And then at the same time, like after the conversation, like 3 or 4 more people have sent it to me. One of my neighbors just last night sent me that video and was like, thought I'd share, with like a little heart.
Oh, wow. That's so funny.
So how did that come about? Were you intimidated? What did you do to go make that video? Give me the deets.
So for that, I did not expect this to happen. It was actually going to just be like a small, just like I thought it was just being a small interview, honestly. And then they had a Facebook person there, and they just wanted me to, like, tell my story again. So I did, but, like, I did not expect it to go, like, blow up like this.
It's viral, right? Would that be considered viral?
I guess so, yeah. It was, like, a few million in a week, so that's
holy
viral, right?
A few million?
I don't know. Yeah, it's at like 4.5 million now or something.
Emily,
it's
4.5 million crazy. People have seen your face.
I know. That's freaky.
Who are
that's
you?
Definitely freaky. I don't know. I don't even know that yet.
Who am I?
Yeah, I was actually just in L.A. because I don't live in L.A. anymore. I used to. And I was in L.A. randomly for it was my friend's birthday and we were going to Disneyland and we'd had this plan for a while. So I told them like, I'd be in town because they had reached out to me. So we kind of just randomly set it up, and I did not expect it to become what it has. But I'm really excited that it has just because there's been a lot more visibility.
And I think the way you told the story was just so concise and short and to the point, and it didn't make me feel like, oh, this life-altering thing that's my life. It just felt like this is just something different that I am that you might not know about.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it is, though. Like, that is right. 100% what it is.
No,
it's
exactly.
It's a small difference that, like, has only affected me because of the way society has treated me and the way doctors have treated me and the way other people have, but not otherwise. Like, if I was just left to my own devices, I would be fine.
Right. It's not like nothing changes in your life. This is just you.
Exactly.
So... Yeah. A question I like to ask people that I meet who are also intersex is, what is one thing you would want people to know about intersex that may not know anything?
Probably that we are everywhere, maybe, and we are just like everyone else, and that our bodies don't need to be fixed. We are fine just the way they are. I mean, it sounds silly because it's the same messaging over and over again, but it still hasn't changed enough that, like, we have to keep saying the same things over and over again. You know, we're fine. We don't need to be fixed. We're everywhere, and our bodies are fine and perfect just the way they are. Like, end of story.
And I think that's the thing. It's like, it's kind of like, it's hard to advocate something that people are ignorant on. And that's like, I've been trying to like get the word out just what intersex is and that we're here and that there's nothing wrong with us. So that way then in turn, we can start talking about the big stuff of stop operating on us.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually why I started a YouTube channel, because I found when I would give lectures or presentations, if it was like an hour and a half long, I would talk about all the important things like surgery and other stuff, but it was all the same thing at the same presentation over and over and over again. Just like, this is what intersex is. This is what society does to us. This is what doctors do to us. Like, this is what needs to be changed. And just kind of keep, it feels like I'm a broken record
right
all the time when I'm presenting. So I felt like YouTube was a good place to like, okay, here is a video where I talk about this. And now I can talk about all these other things. Now I can go into talking about this or that or, you know, how this affects me or what have you, you know, there's so many nuances and so many different experiences and parts of being intersex that
right.
We should be able to explore all those, but we can't because no one even knows we exist.
Now, that is so true. And so you obviously are super educated on intersex variations and conditions and all that. How, like, were you always like that? Were you brought up with like learning these things, or were you just curious and started to learn and wanted to meet others?
It was more curiosity than anything. I had a friend who, I think I talked about this in the video, I had a friend who was intersex when we were little, but we didn't realize how related they were. But as I got older and I started reading about being androgen insensitive, like we are, I, you know, started researching her variation. And then it was really when I went to my first support group conference that I started learning a lot more. And like, there's so many different intersex variations and possibilities. And like, human biology is such this like, huge spectrum that I sort of started learning about that there. And I took all these notes and had all this, like, got all these paperwork and stuff. And that kind of was the beginning of it.
Right.
And then I just kind of kept learning more and more as I did more advocacy and met more people. And then I started doing a lot of illustrations for kind of like intersex puberty resource.
I'm obsessed with illustrations.
Oh, thank you.
You're so talented.
Thank you. It was, I really, one of my big goals in the next couple of years is to create an intersex puberty book, or just like a puberty book that is entirely like not gendered. Like,
right.
This is what happens during puberty. Like, figure out what your body will be doing and like take gender entirely out of it. And so we've already started that a little bit, but when I was doing those illustrations and researching about that, that really helped to like solidify a lot more knowledge that I had started like building. But, and I still like, I don't know everything and I'm constantly
right.
learning, and that's what's awesome is it's such like a wide pool of things. Like I can never know everything and I can never know enough. So it's a fun thing to be learning all the time.
Dude, you're constantly learning. And I remember when I decided, okay, I'm ready. I want to be an advocate. I want to do more. Like, this is kind of a purpose I'm feeling really driven toward lately, especially just I need to talk about it. And Kimberly were the two people who I felt like gave me the most knowledge, and I still felt like, wow, I was so in the dark, like about my own body. Like, I had no idea things about myself.
Yeah. And that's what's key is like, none of us did, you know,
right.
like unless we did research. Like, my mom still didn't understand things. Like, she didn't get that. She just thought I had great skin and great hair and was lucky. Like, she didn't get that those were related until a couple of years ago.
Have you ever had people basically like act like you're lying? Like, no, that's not real.
Online people do. I haven't in real life though. Like, but I've always been very cautious about who I've told. You know,
right.
Like if I'm giving a presentation, I'm usually giving it at the context of like, okay, this is something I'm presenting on. It's important. Like, people should listen.
This is scientific.
So none of, exactly. Yeah. And so then people don't normally question me. And then when I was a kid, like, I would only tell maybe one friend a year. And
right.
That like, they never really questioned me on. So not really, but like, there are some things. Like, I had this biology teacher who didn't believe me that I was colorblind, and because I am, and he thought that I was just like trying to get attention.
Oh, and why would you make that up?
I know, right? Like, oh yeah, this is a good way to get attention. And that's like, there was this one guy who was commenting on that Pop Sugar video, like saying, I'm just crying for attention. And I'm like, yeah, I really want 4.5 million people talking about my genitals in the world. Like, that's great.
I love
kind of
all
attention.
These people knowing about my balls. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I do, because I love that they know about it.
Right.
But like, the fact that it's me, no, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I want them to know about what intersex is so that, you know, we all can move about in society and not feel like we're hiding or we don't belong or we don't fit.
And I almost feel like we're at a place in society right now with it coming up so much, just gender topics in general, that like, I'm mm-hmm. to a point where the few negative comments I get on things like that, or the really uneducated questions I'll get asked, it almost fuels me. It makes me not even mad, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, you're so uneducated.
Yeah.
That's not, you
it's
sound
true.
So ignorant. It's not even me. It's you.
I know. And I don't, like, the only comments that really get me mad now are ones where they're, like, purposely not listening or trying to, like, just be mean or rude.
They're just trying to be mean and stir the pot.
Exactly. Yeah. And, like, if a lot of times it is just people being ignorant, I'm like, oh, no, like, that's so funny. Like, that's funny that you think that, but it's not true at all.
Right.
And but I was never there before. I'm sure you were in the same place, like, a few years ago. Like, reading comments like that was so detrimental. And I was,
oh, my
like,
gosh.
My heart would sink any time I would read something. I would, like, cry and, like, freak out as a kid reading comments like that.
I can remember going on YouTube one time, and I want to say, it was a couple years ago, and I want to say it was some videos that maybe Pigeon put up.
Yeah.
And I had just, like, because I just typed in intersex in YouTube, and I wanted to see some. And some of the comments were obviously uneducated, like, YouTube haters.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, nope, that sealed my coffin. Never talking about this again. That's terrifying. Those guys are mean. And I was so upset.
Exactly. And that was so hard. Like, you know, for everyone now, for kids now, they're logging onto the internet and they have all this access to information.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are still doing that and there's like 13-year-old wondering about themselves and reading these comments, like that's terrifying and horrible. Like, you know,
right.
That's kind of why I think I talked about this in the video a little bit, but that's kind of why I started doing this, because I remember being 13 or 14 and looking online and seeing all these negative comments and like wanting to change that. Like, I didn't want anybody else to have to be in, like, be doing that again. I don't want anyone else, like, who's younger or, I mean, any age really, to be sitting on the internet and like reading these trolls and these haters and like
right.
internalizing that. You know?
Oh, it's terrible. And what's yeah. scary too, and that just sucks, is that it's not even young people, because a lot of people with our diagnosis, they don't know the full extent until they're in their like 20s. Like, I know I think they say I was told, maybe I was, but if I was told, then I didn't know. I didn't remember it because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until later that I knew. And even now, I have some relatives that are, you know, I'm not going to out them, obviously, but who are also intersex. And they've told my mom, I've learned so much just from Jackie posting. Like, I didn't know this about myself. And they're, you know, older.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Have they ever talked to you about it much?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, yeah, because you're in a similar boat, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And I did talk to one relative about it after my first support group meeting. I was like, hey, I went to the support group conference. It was really wonderful and empowering, and, like, I felt so good meeting other people. And she was basically just like, that's great. We were just emailing. She was like, that's great, but, like, I've made my peace with this, and I don't ever want to have to think about it again.
Okay, that's pretty much the exact that's the vibe I got mostly. Some are a little open, more open than others.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just a generational thing, too, and, like, you have to do stuff to protect yourself.
And I think, and you can't quote me because, you know, I wasn't there and I wasn't alive then, but from what I've heard, back in, like, the 70s and maybe earlier, when they found out their diagnosis, they were told horrible things about themselves. Like, they were scared. They were scared of themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think that is something, it's really interesting. This is a small, random thing, but I'm just going to be fully honest here. Like, because I don't have pubic hair, it's always nice, because that's, like, desired in society right now.
Right.
But
right.
I remember hearing stories, and I've heard a lot of stories of people in the 70s and 60s who would, like, take eyeliner pens and draw on pubic hair.
What?
So that, yeah, because that's what was desired back then.
That was what people want. That was what the look was. That was cool.
Exactly. Exactly. And I was like, that's just like one random generational thing that was just, I would never have thought about. But it's so fascinating, like, seeing different, how people are affected in different times and what's happening in society.
Oh, I can't tell you how often I would have, because, you know, I played college sports, so we had a lot of locker room time. People would always say, your armpits are always so smooth. And I'm like, oh, I don't grow any armpit hair. And everyone would look at me like, you've never shaved your armpits? Sure, Jackie. Like, they just didn't understand. Like, they couldn't fathom that that was a thing. Like, someone, because to them, that's so normal. That's your body. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always happen, because it didn't happen to me.
Exactly. And actually, now that you say that, going back to your earlier question, if people didn't believe me, like, that's what people wouldn't believe if I didn't go into the specifics.
Right.
But occasionally I would, like, tell someone, like, oh, yeah, like, I don't grow armpit hair. Like, I've never really had pimples. Like, those people would always be very skeptical and like, yeah, right, you're just joking.
No, I
remember.
Yeah.
That happening a few times, actually.
I even had, like, really close friends who they didn't really know. They knew, oh, Jackie doesn't have a period. She was born without ovaries, you know, that kind of thing. And I would say, like, after practice, well, they'd be like, didn't you wear that shirt yesterday? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't really have BO, so I just wear it. And they'd be like, yeah, Jackie, you don't have BO. And I'm like, well, have you smelled it? Because I don't. And then it'd be like an argument because they just didn't get it.
Yeah. That actually, thinking back to that, my senior year of high school, I had a gym class or aerobics or dance or something every single day. And I would probably shower like maybe twice a week, if that.
Oh, I'm the
I
worst.
Would just, like, yeah, and I would just use body spray. And like, I was very, I remember being self-conscious of that, but also not really wanting to talk about it. And I think like, I don't remember. That makes me want to like look back to that time and think about it more, because I remember that being a big like part of my awareness, is like going all day without showering and like feeling weird about that, but also feeling fine, and like having other people think that was weird.
It's funny too, because you say that, it's not something that's ever dawned on me until I'm having this conversation with you, but like, I've been like that my whole life, and I run like, I probably run 40 to 60 miles a week. I always have. And I don't shower every day. I don't.
Yeah.
And no one would know.
No, I know. And that's what's so crazy. I remember this one, there was like 2 weeks that I hadn't showered, and that included like going to camp and being a camp counselor for a few days. And I had these girls like playing with my hair afterwards. And I was like, hey, like, just so you know, I haven't showered in 2 weeks. So like, yeah, right, we get you. Like, another time where they just didn't believe me.
Right, because they're like,
okay, like,
sure, you're just saying things are touching your hair. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
Sadly, I'm not lying to you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I get dirty, and so I should shower. Like, it's not like...
I'm not self-cleaning. I'm not saying people shouldn't shower. I'm not advocating that.
We may advocate for intersex youth, but we don't advocate for not showering.
Exactly.
Get the
that
dirt off.
That leads to diseases and bacteria and stuff.
Right. Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
It's so funny.
So what's next for you?
What's next? I'm actually, let's see, besides the conference coming up soon, I'm actually moving across the country.
What? Where to?
Providence, Rhode Island. So I've had a lot of opportunities come up in New York and Boston that I haven't been able to be a part of. And I've always wanted to be on the East Coast because I was born in Maine. So I'm going to move in with my sister, and we're going to, you know, have this time, and hopefully I'll be able to be involved in a lot more East Coast advocacy projects. So
that's sweet.
Yeah.
When did you make the decision to move? I had no idea.
It's been kind of, I actually haven't even told a lot of my close friends just because it's been such a whirlwind couple of weeks, but it's been over the last month or two we've been like formalizing the decision and stuff, so that's exciting. But as far as intersex goes, I don't really know, like, nothing too big on the horizon besides this conference, which, coming, by the way?
No, I'm not going.
What?
I don't have, like, any money, and so it kind of... I wanted to go so bad, and I kept saying to myself, I'm going to start putting aside money because I want to go to this. And then I wouldn't do it, and then next thing you know, it just wasn't on the docket.
Okay.
Next year, I'm, like, planning ahead, and I'm going. Like, I'm going no matter what.
You have to.
We don't know where it's at next year, do we?
I might know, but if I do, I'm not allowed to say.
Oh, so you, is it, how, can you tell me this? Is it really, really far away from Michigan?
No.
Oh, really?
If, no, and that's what I was going to say, and then I was like, wait, I don't think they've announced it if it's actually been fully decided, so.
Gotcha.
I will not say anything yet, but next year will be in the cards for you.
Oh, my God. Well, a couple years ago, it was like in Ohio, and
yeah,
I should have gone,
because
that was driving distance. Like, that was like 5 hours from me. Problem was, I wasn't in a place where I was talking about it yet, so I mentally wasn't ready. But now I shout it from the rooftops, and I want to advocate more, and I'm looking for opportunities to talk more. So now I'm like, okay, I'm ready. I can go talk to people because I love me and I love you.
That's so awesome. I remember, I don't know, the first time I found the support group was like, I was 15 or 16 or something, maybe younger. And I just remember being so scared of that concept. Like, even though that's what I needed and probably wanted deep down, like, I was just so scared of, like, it being real.
I really appreciate you saying that, because I'm going to tell you something that now I think you'll understand. I was in, the support group has a Facebook page, and it's obviously private, so y'all can't just go join it because you... It's not like that, but I was in it, obviously, and I was still really early into, like, kind of learning about myself. Like, I didn't know the ins and outs of being intersex. I didn't know everything about CAIS, which is what I have. And I thought I knew, but I didn't. And so I was discovering through the group things that I was never told. And it was starting to make me really uncomfortable. And then there were people with other, I didn't quite understand that, you know, there's 40 some variations that we know of. Is it that right?
Yeah.
Of intersex.
Yeah.
I didn't gather that either. I thought we were all one. You had what I had or you didn't. So then I started to panic. I was seeing posts that were just upsetting me because I didn't know. I was uninformed.
Yeah.
So then I, in a rash decision, left the group because I was just like, I can't hear anymore. I can't read anymore. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand this.
Oh, okay. So is this you reaching out so I can add you back in?
Yeah, you're going to have to add me back in. And I've been, well, what happened was I was too embarrassed to tell everyone. Okay, so here's what happened. I left the group. I want back in.
It is? Okay, perfect. That's fine. And I think that's actually what's really interesting about the support group and intersex advocacy is this, it's such a personal thing and it's such a personal journey that like everybody kind of goes through waves of what they need and what they don't need. And sometimes like I need to step back. Like there are some days where I'm just like, I'm going to go hike and like disappear off service range for the next 12 hours because I like don't want to think about any of this right now. And I just need to like recharge and reset. And I think that's kind of, that can be a short period of time or for some people. I remember I took a break right after I first came out publicly.
Which was was that the BuzzFeed article?
No, it was right before that, like right when Faking It came out.
Oh, okay.
I was in that PSA and like I wrote a letter on that MTV published. And for the next couple, probably the next month and a half or 2 months, it was just kind of a whirlwind. And that was, I mean, you can kind of understand, I think I would imagine like going from never talking about this to talking about it every single day was just so jarring. And like there's still this voice in my head that was like, no, like, what are you doing? You can't be talking about this. Like, this is a secret. Like, you can't tell anyone.
Because you're told it's a secret. Like, don't talk about it. And that I completely agree.
Yeah. And so it was just so, so scary. And then it was just so emotionally overwhelming for the first couple months that I finally, like, took a break. And really now I know it's like I've burned out. Like, I was just exhausted and couldn't keep it up and have, like, I think now this year I'm really feeling, seems like you too, but I'm really feeling good and like positive and things are like looking up and moving forward in the advocacy world, which is awesome.
And like, obviously for you, your family, I mean, this is your career, like advocacy aside, this is also your job. So your family has to know that you're doing it. Is this something that you guys all talk about openly or is it still something that's kind of like, this is you and they don't quite, aren't on the same level?
Yeah, no, they still don't get it fully, I think, just like, not that they, for lack of trying, but, you know, it takes a lot of, I think that's why it's not talked about, is there's so many nuances that they haven't spent as much time as me, like, researching and learning, but it's definitely something we talk about. Apparently, my mom, my sister, and my dad are all together right now.
Oh, cool.
And have been for the last week, a couple weeks in Rhode Island. And apparently my mom has been, like, showing everyone my video, the posture video, and, like, even, like, complete strangers, and just, like, this is my daughter, isn't she great? And, like,
have you seen
that.
This video on the Facebook? It's gone the viral.
Exactly. It went on the viral yesterday.
She's going to be the next big thing.
That's probably what she would say. I'm impressed she could figure out her phone in order to show people. So that's already a step above.
I know. Give our parents less credit than they deserve sometimes. Like, I know, like, I came out about this and I just started doing it. And I was like, I'm not even going to warn my parents. I'm just going to do it because I don't want to have an awkward conversation. And I'm 30, just turned 32. But I look 29, so we're just going to say 29. It's my life. I'm just going to do it. Well, we still never talked about it. I was posting this stuff and I've been getting a huge amount of feedback. I wrote an article that got about, I think it was like 40 or 50,000 reads. So it's out there, but we never talk about it. And then the other day I was on the phone with my dad and it briefly came up because he's printing a kind of like a card, like a business card almost, but has some intersex facts on it. Like, contact me if you want to know more about intersex, like that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And he said, we've never spoke about this my entire life, even through my surgery. And he said, I think what you're doing is really cool. And that was just ended at that. But it was like really nice hearing that, like, oh, he's not disappointed or uncomfortable by it.
Oh, cool. That's so awesome.
Yeah. So I think that's nice.
Yeah. My dad and I rarely ever talked about it. If we did, my mom says that he came with me to an appointment or two, which I actually don't remember at all.
Right.
But he came to one of my presentations like 6 months ago.
Wow.
And it was really cool, but there was a couple moments where I was like talking about my sex life and I was just like, sorry, Dad, like,
oh, that's uncomfortable.
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. And there's definitely a few videos that I'm planning on making. One that I'm hoping to make soon that I'm like, yeah, just none of you watch this. It'll just be better. Like, if you don't, for this, both of us,
this is something you don't need to see. But, you know, because even like with intersex issues and intersex problems, you don't talk about, you're not going to go to the gynecologist with your dad if you weren't intersex.
Right.
So why,
right.
Like, this isn't much different in that aspect if you want to look at it that way.
True. Okay, true. Yeah, I will.
I will. That's what I will choose
will
to. Good call.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I think they're both really proud. And my dad has actually sent a few people my way who've, like, wanted to work with me in different capacities, which has been cool. So I think they are really proud. It's just, it took a bit. It took a minute.
And I think
at first they didn't understand.
And they, you know? And it's like you've said, and I've said from the beginning, it's a different generation that they were from and they don't always know how to respond to that stuff.
Right. Right. Exactly. So, but it's been, especially this most recent video, I think everything that I've done has been really positive for the
most part.
Like, and my family, my extended family, because I have a huge extended family, has seen it. But I think this particular video has been the like farthest reaching video of that about me, and I think that has really made a lot of my like extended family more aware and understanding, because they really haven't been for the most part. I mean, not that they haven't been, some of them have been, but it's the conversation has never been there, so it's
right.
Cool to see the conversation happening now.
Has, like, total side note, has your Facebook page like blown up since the video came out?
My public page, yeah, I definitely got a lot more followers, which was cool. My phone for the full week afterwards was just nonstop notifications, which was actually a little overwhelming.
Yeah, you're like, oh,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, it's cool and it's nice. And I mean, my favorite thing is just there's always a few intersex people reaching out. It's not more than a few saying, you know, oh my God, like I've never told anyone about this. I've never seen anyone talking about this. Like, thank you for sharing your story. Like, I feel so much better, this or that. And that is always so, like, that tells me that everything that I'm doing is right.
I couldn't have said it better. I completely agree. I haven't had, I'm sure, anywhere near as many as you, but I've had a good 5 to 10 intersex individuals contact me that are from here, or even from, I've had a couple from the UK that were like, I just stumbled upon your article and, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I've never met anyone like me. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, well, my heart, like, feels warm.
Yeah.
Now you have.
I know. Me and there's a couple of youth in the youth program that I coordinate, Interact Youth. And they, we have almost like a competition for who can be the first intersex person that somebody else meets. So, like, whenever there's a new person, it's like we all make it a thing to, like, make sure we're the first person to meet them so that we can, like, claim we were their first intersex
I was the first one. I was their first intersex friend. So they compare all intersex people to me, who is, like, the coolest one there is.
Exactly. yeah, it's kind of a funny, fun rivalry.
That's our fun
Not
rivalry
really.
We've got going on. If only
exactly.
I was, if only I was a youth.
You are still a youth at heart.
At heart.
And me
I just
too.
Keep waiting because Hane is, if not my age, close to my age. So she'll get there soon and I'll be like, look,
we're
old.
I know. It's true. And that's what's crazy too, is like realizing that, like, you know, even like me, Pigeon, Sypha, you, like people who have been talking about it for like around, who have been like quote unquote young over the last like year or two, are mm-hmm. no longer young. And it's cool seeing like a lot younger people talking about it.
I like that too. That's really cool.
Yeah. one of our youth, Ellie, is 16, and she just did an interview. I forget what news outlet, but it was really awesome to see her, like, stepping up to the plate and, like, really ready and really, like, well-spoken about it. And it's cool to start seeing, like, younger and younger people. And I think that's just going to happen, like, the more we do this work.
Oh, yeah, the more it gets out there, the more comfortable those young people will be talking, because they'll say, Emily Quinn is, like, the coolest person ever. If she's going to do this, I want to do this.
Well, I don't know about that, but I hope that they will see it as, like, this doesn't have to be a scary, like, isolating, lonely thing, you know?
No, and it definitely doesn't.
Yeah, and it's interesting seeing other communities, like seeing the transgender community, how, like, trans kids will come out now at an early age. And granted, it's, like, very different for intersex kids, but it's cool because there are enough, like, older trans people talking about this so that the younger trans people feel like, okay, like, I have a future. It like, this does look good. Like, I can do this. I can be this. I can be whoever I want. And I think that's what, like, I just want intersex people to feel, too.
That's amazing. And I love that. So we'll end on that note. And I'm so glad you got to make time to talk to me today. Your schedule is so busy, and mine is always, like, scatterbrained. So it was great getting you on the phone.
Yeah, you too. I'm glad we talked for a little bit in person, or at least together.
Voice to voice.
Texting. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Voice to voice.
Tell me real quick, where can people find you? Where do you have, like, a website, Twitter, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it's emilord.com, E-M-I-L-O-R-D. And you can find me, all my social media through there, but I'm emilord on Twitter and Facebook and Tumblr and everything. So
she's all over the inner space.
All over the, as my mom would say, on the interweb channel.
On that interweb channel you're there on, spouting your ideas.
You can tell you're from the Midwest when you go into that mom accent.
Yep, nope, exactly. All right, well, thank you so much, Emily. You have a good one. And that is Emily Quinn, the Emily Quinn. I love her. I talk her up too much. She probably is embarrassed, but I just think she's great. I think she's doing such a good thing for our community, the intersex community, and I think she's just a good person and a good girl to have on your side, a good person to be talking to. So check her out if you didn't catch it. Emilord, E-M-I-L-O-R-D is her Twitter. You can find her on Facebook, Emily Quinn. She got a little blue badge. She verified. She's, like, legit and stuff. So am I. If you haven't found me on Facebook yet, facebook.com/onairjackie, Jackie Green. I'm right there. Find me, connect, let's chat. I'd love to hear from you. I love hearing from people. We'll talk. Even if it's not on intersex, I like to talk about movies and food and babies and all that good stuff. If you want more information on being an advocate and what we're doing and what we're trying to do to advocate for intersex youth, go online, interactadvocates.org. That's interactadvocates.org. Fantastic resources right there on the website. And it's a bunch of really cool people. You won't regret checking it out. All right, until next time. Bye.